Christ has given two ordinances to the church. One we do every Lord's Day. We take the Lord's Supper as a church family. And the other is baptism. And the ordinance of baptism, what we're doing right now is we are joining with the angels in heaven who rejoice anytime a sinner is saved. And while baptism is not saving Susan, we are celebrating Christ's work in her life. We are rejoicing in God's kindness and goodness and His power to save. That's what we're doing as we hear this testimony and as we baptize our sisters. So, Susan, give us your testimony.
Up until a couple of months ago, I lived out of my flesh in sin that was so dark and heinous, I never thought that there was any saving me. I've done horrible things in my life. And looking back, I can see the kindness of God all over my life, even though I was separated from Him. I grew up in San Antonio with my mother, my older sister, and my brother. We were very involved in church, youth group, and choir. My mother shared Christ in our home and everywhere she went, so I had heard the gospel. I just didn't believe. So throughout my younger years, I experienced the divorce of my parents when I was 3. I was sexually abused by a family member, so I learned at a young age to put the walls around myself and only let people see what I wanted them to. I took on victim mentality, started becoming very good at deceiving and manipulating people to get what I wanted. At 16, I was in a very serious car accident. We rolled and I was ejected from the vehicle and pinned underneath it, and my back was broken. I was on IV opioids for the pain, and this is where a 42-year of addiction to narcotics began. After I was out of the hospital, I then tried an illegal drug that instantly became my drug of choice. I was hooked from the first time I did it. As my addiction grew deeper and more serious, my sin life did as well. I did really bad things, and it turned into a vicious cycle of victim mentality, guilt, and shame, then have to be high to cope. At 17, I would get the first of 2 abortions. I was becoming a masterful liar and manipulator, and I used anyone and everything to get what I wanted. I was married and divorced twice. I have 3 children. I had successful careers as a hairstylist, a singer and recording artist, and a healthcare executive. By the world standards, I was doing great. I made good money and thought that was what defined me. I justified my addiction by the fact that I could hold down a job, made enough money to raise my children and support my habit, so I was fine. But no one knew how bad it had gotten. After some years, I ended up in Washington, D.C. as the COO of a medical practice. I was still prescribed my prescription meds, and then I was having my illegal drugs FedEx to me 3 to 4 times a week and still being, you know, on all of those things just to get right. My habit was getting extremely expensive, so I started stealing money from the medical practice business account. I was pretty creative, so nobody knew. While in D.C., I started having health issues and was diagnosed with lupus. My health was declining. Now we know it was due to the large amount of poison that I was doing daily, and it was taking a toll on my body. I had a hole in my soul that was growing deeper and darker every day. I ended up going back to Florida as I couldn't live alone any longer. I knew I was going to die alone in that apartment. But before I left, I turned in my laptop to the doctors and told them I had been stealing from them. They told me we would work it out, not knowing how much it was. 2 weeks later, I was contacted by D.C. white-collar crimes detective. I admitted to stealing the money. It was a lot of money. I ended up arrested by U.S. Marshals the next night, and over the next 6 months, I flew back and forth to D.C. I reached a plea agreement where I would do time in prison. I would actually still be there today. At my sentencing, the judge told me she believed in me, which is a scary thought, but she gave me 5 months probation and a year suspended sentence. I came home back to Florida and continued to use drugs, lie, cheat, and steal from those who cared about me. In October of 2016, I was kicked out of my residence that I was living at. I went to my dealer's house after probation one day with my 2 suitcases. and was doing drugs, and an overwhelming sense that I was going to die that night hit me as I was sitting there. So I grabbed my suitcases, and I walked about a mile to a 7-Eleven and called my son, Johnny. He came and got me. I entered detox that night, and took about 2 weeks, then a year-long residential treatment facility. It was faith-based, and after some months there, I proclaimed that I was saved. But inside, I knew I was not walking with the Lord. I was still so prideful and so caught up in my flesh. I was just doing what I needed to do to get by. I moved to Wyoming shortly after getting out of the program and lived on the ranch with my sister and Tim. Shortly after arriving, I started vaping nicotine, and I found a drug that is sold over the counter as a supplement, and it is like opioids, and it's very highly addictive. I lied to everyone about this and used my health issues to get money from family members to purchase it. I continued to profess Christ. I lied to myself and others, wanting them not to see that I was still so stained and overrun with my sin. I went to church and was even baptized. I would do or say anything, and just enough to get by. All I really cared about was me. I was still full of self-centeredness, selfishness, and cared all too much about what the world and man thought, and not about sinning against God. I figured if no one knew, no harm, no foul. Not a bit concerned that God knew all. After a while, I told everyone I quit taking the supplements after Dara had researched it and found it was not good, but I kept doing it secretly and hiding it. After Mom moved here, it was decided I would come here and help care for her. My habit was getting worse and worse, and I had to purchase a lot weekly to sustain. I was telling my mother that I was getting oils, which she would give me her card to purchase, when I was really getting the drug and nicotine. As Mom started showing some symptoms and stopping treatment, I knew it was only a matter of time before I was caught. I did a false half-confession to Pastor Dara and Tyler. They kept lying and holding back. It took about a week to get the truth out and to turn all the supplements over. Every day they would pull more out of me. It was the darkest, most miserable time of my life. I'm so thankful for that time now as I look back. It's what I had to walk through to be broken. I finally turned all of the drugs over and went through withdrawal. Dara and Tyler found a biblical addiction study, and I started at the end of February. In March and the beginning of April, there were two times that I got nicotine using Mom's card and lied about it. It was after that when I was finally able to surrender. God in His grace brought me to a place where my spirit was completely broken. I humbled myself and I turned to Christ. I realized that all along the problem has been me, my pride, selfish, sinful desires, as I lived through my flesh and for the things of this world. I even boasted on Christ and what He was doing in my life, knowing that I was hiding more sin. I was reading 1 John 1, 9, and 10, and I realized that Jesus did die for my sins, my ugly, wicked sins, that He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins, even mine. Jesus died so that I could have a relationship with God and live with Him in heaven forever. I saw that He showed His kindness and mercy all over my life, as well as His protection that came with the accountability and consequences of my sin. Realizing that He truly loved me this much brought me to my knees. I saw my sin with clarity for the first time and how bad it really was, and that I had sinned against God. I was able to turn away from my sin. I confessed and asked forgiveness. Through my study, I've learned that willingness to be submissive to God and to the truth of His word. I've learned to be honest and transparent, even when it's hard. I live led by the Spirit who helps me and guides me through God's word, helping me understand more about His truth and convicting me when I need it. Going through this season with my mother, I am so in awe of God's perfect timing in all of this. I am able to be present for her and truly love and serve her. And most of all, trust in Jesus and His plan for her. I am a new person living in reality. What a concept. I can have joy even through the challenging times. This is completely different from when I was falsely proclaiming Christ. I didn't know Him. I didn't have the Holy Spirit helping me. and was trying to do everything in my own strength while still in sin. I was failing miserably. I was still on the hamster wheel. I'm comforted by God's word now. My heart is changing and transforming more each day, loving others and caring more about their needs than my own, while building true relationships, not false ones built on lies. I'm grateful for the bondage being broken, that I am experiencing freedom and hope, that I was not powerless over my addiction. I don't believe those lies any longer. I will live by the truth of his word and glorify him in all that I do. Psalm 118:5, out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free.
That last thing you read, put that back up. It said, I will live by the truth of his word and glorify him in all that I do. And if you don't, will you go to hell?
Because I'm saved by the blood.
Saved by what? By whom?
By my faith and trust in Jesus Christ.
So when you stand before God, what will you plead if you fail and sin?
That I was saved by Jesus Christ and I believe in him as my Lord and Savior.
What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. A baptism is a representation of, an affirmation of, a confirmation of, we have been buried with Christ in his death, and we now have been raised by the power of God into a newness of life. Life eternal and life now. And that because of that, we have been raised to walk in a newness of life. And Susan is now entering into, with this local assembly, walking in a newness of life. That when we fail and when we stumble, we'll remember our baptism. We'll remember that we were buried with Christ and raised from the dead, and that we now walk in a newness of life because of Christ who lives in us. She is joining our congregation as a member to be one of us who, by the grace of God, have been baptized into his death. We have been baptized into his resurrection and into a newness of life that we live together. So let's baptize Susan.